You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 2nd, 2016, and today we get Play the Game with Bastion.
Buddy, this is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I'm George Alborn.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on the conversation.
Yep.
We turned on voice chat for this podcast. Party chat.
Party open. Chat. All chat.
We are going to talk about, I would say mostly Overwatch, but we're going to talk about a fair amount of competitive-focused games, mm-hmm. because George and I have been playing a lot of Overwatch recently.
Boy, howdy.
Gosh, it's really cutting into my HOTS training.
It really is. It really is.
And the whole point of Overwatch is competitive multiplayer.
Yes.
That's like all you got to do in that game.
That's all there is to do.
Theoretically, I guess you could play against bots or whatever, but that's...
Who does that?
Yeah, come on. And I was thinking about how I am or am not communicating with other players, mm-hmm. how the competitive scene is shaping up so far. Just like, what is this game like? What is a new take on a competitive shooter look like?
Right.
And how is the community forming up? So we're going to spend a few minutes talking about that today.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, so I first came to this thinking about the communication angle,
mm-hmm.
And just that they do it, you know, Overwatch does things differently in a few key ways, and we talked about a little bit about this when we were playing the beta, but the nudge towards positivity,
yes,
I think, is worth talking about, and also worth talking about seeing, like, after playing it for... Essentially, we've been playing it for 2 weeks because of all of our beta time and stuff. But, like, after giving in a couple weeks of playing, how is that positivity hitting us and continuing to manifest?
Yeah, totally. You know, Blizzard is really adept at making games. And I think paying attention to design as a form of influencing community behavior.
Mm-hmm.
This is true in Hearthstone in the way that you can't control whether or not your character says, you know, well played or what. I mean, you can. You can choose to say certain mm-hmm. things. But there's no option to be toxic in Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, you can't right click and have your, you know, sorcerer say, like, you
suck. Get good.
Like, there's no taunt. I mean, there is, the community's found a way to taunt, but they have to do it by adapting what is essentially only positive communication.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some of that in HOTS, and they added that in Overwatch as well. When you are healed, you'll automatically say things like, thank you,
mm-hmm.
right? Or all of the emotes and the voice dialogues that you can say lend themselves really well to saying thanks or mm-hmm. hello or let's go, and not as many options for taunting your opponents.
Mm-hmm.
So positive communication is sort of built into just the way that you play that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are forced to rely on your teammates in a lot of ways because so many of them provide support, and there's a communication that suggests which roles you should play, so you're not... At the very least, you might be fighting over what roles to play, but
mm-hmm.
there is a sense that the game is reinforcing the sort of team play camaraderie aspect of it, which I think is really cool, and at least in my experience so far, does lend itself towards creating a generally positive community.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelmingly, the people that I've played with who have been random strangers have actually been pretty nice. When I hear people on voice chat, the only time you hear people being antagonistic or toxic
mm.
is when people are like, come on, we don't need 4 Genjis. 3 Maze is not a strategy, right? Like that type of response, which I think is totally justified, because fuck you if you're rolling, you know, the 4th May on your team. And the other time I hear people talk a lot is when they're just saying, hey, good job, or mm. warning you about where someone's location is at. So generally, it's been positive for me. Has it been positive for you?
I think overall, probably. But I realized, I don't know, a while ago that I think there was like a certain amount of time in when I was playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm, or maybe mm-hmm. it was even longer ago than that, when I was just like, I reached the point in the game where I know exactly what to do, and I'll never be the best person on the map because my reflexes just aren't as good.
Yeah.
Like, that, I just will never be able to shoot as well.
You're
as
not a robot.
Yeah, I mean, like, and by robot, I mean 12-year-old, right? Like,
yeah.
I'll never be able to, like, shoot as good as them. But I just don't need... I don't need the type of advice that people tend to dispense.
Yeah.
Because I actually, I mean, I know this sounds super douchey, but I actually do feel like in a match, I actually know what's going on more so than my teammates.
Yeah.
Where it's like, guys, you're charging into this tunnel five times in a row. Like, yeah. What is happening?
We're needing
like,
to group up, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
All the time I'll get in games where people just run in one at a time mm-hmm. and die, and you wonder why you can't take a point.
Yeah. And the same thing happens in HOTS where it's like, come on, people. Like,
team fights.
Yeah. Do you really think the best thing to do right now is fuck around with a mercenary camp when, like, your entire team is on the upper left? Like,
right.
You know, I mean, and so, like, at a certain point, that happened early on in Overwatch where people were like, no, don't pick D.Va or whatever. And I was like, I don't need this. I already know this. And so I just muted everyone.
Right. So you default mute.
And including muting the team chat. Because I noticed that there's pings in that game where it's like my ultimate is up. I'm 80% or something. Yeah. Or, you know, you hear it like, oh, turret on the left when you're close to someone.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Audio yeah. is very good.
And so it's like, oh, I am just probably, because like, I will like be frustrated at people. And I recognize that in myself. And I'm right. like, I can lengthen the shelf life of this game by silencing people.
So, okay. So, but are you blocking because of them or you're blocking because of your own weakness? Like you understand how frustrated you get. So
I feel like it's the same thing, right? Because like I barely ever, like every once in a while I'll suggest something if the team actually seems like they're receptive to it.
Something like there's a Bastion on the far side, we need a Genji.
Yeah, or exactly, or you know, if I get killed trying to tell people where it was or where right. the person's hiding or something like right. that. But for the most part, I feel like the matches happen so quickly that it doesn't really matter all that much. Like either your team knows what they're doing and you have a good round, or your team doesn't know what they're doing and the round is over fast anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, that combined with the fact that people already feel like they're like esports experts in this game means that like I probably don't need to listen to what yeah. these idiots have to say.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like, and I realized I was close to like just stopping playing HOTS, and I was like, oh, wait a second. If I just stop listening to people,
yeah.
it's way nicer.
It's just so weird though, because whenever you're playing a competitive game like this, and especially one that rewards team play so much,
mm-hmm.
communication is almost always key, right? Like mm-hmm. when you're looking at esports players in any esport, communication is constantly one of the things. Like over communicate. Mm-hmm. They're like constantly talking to each other on stream. I get you. Like you're right. The games are so short and it's so yeah. casual, and it's not that big of a deal if we lose, that there are times when I go, you know, I don't really want to put in the effort. But every time that I've been in a match where someone's been like, oh, hey, I'm going to wait for you, or there, maybe I'm playing Mercy and I tell someone, hey, I'm going to follow you a little bit mm-hmm. and give you an attack boost,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm not going to leave your side so you can be a little bit more daring. That type of communication is instantly rewarding in terms of their ability to sort of adjust based upon what your intentions are. Or same with, you know, pointing somebody towards where Bastion is at, mm-hmm. or like, oh, there's a sniper over here. Like that kind of communication is pretty clutch, and there aren't a great number of tools in the like emote set
mm-hmm.
to notify that, right? Like I can type it in, but I can't ping an enemy, for example. I can't
yeah.
target someone and say, hey, there's this Bastion.
I thought that would actually be more of a thing.
I like, was hoping so. Yeah, like, I think the game would actually be greatly improved if I could ping mm-hmm. at where I'm pointing at.
Because like they did that like very effectively in Heroes of the Storm, so effectively that in one of the most recent patches, they actually enabled the ability to mute pings
oh,
on the
yeah.
map. Right? So like, so people use it so much
yeah.
that, and if you ping too much, the game mutes you for a short amount of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
automatically.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So if you like, if I'm like getting mad and like pinging the base over and over again, like trying to tell people to go there, it'll cut off my pings for a few seconds. Like
yeah.
it'll say you've pinged too much. And so like, I was kind of surprised that they didn't actually have that because they seemed to be leaning further into the nonverbal stuff.
Yeah.
Into just the like, you know, just the tactics.
Yeah. yeah, but it is funny that they do default towards being in these group chats with people.
Oh yeah,
you can't just automatic. And to be fair,
it's hard to turn off the chat.
Oh, God.
I had to dig for it.
I could not figure
yeah.
it out. Yeah, for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to because in the beta, one of the first experiences I had was someone who was just like throwing out like homophobic slurs the entire
right.
game.
Right. I there is also, I think it's. There's not a lot of like report this player stuff as much. Like that stuff is buried a little bit in the same area where like the turn it off and on type stuff is buried. And so I think they're really banking on the fact that like the short rounds and the kind of objective based stuff will take care of that rather than having to have like a huge drawn out like conversation with someone about it.
Still though, I mean, it should be much easier to report people
or just like, mute all, like, you know, there's so many other games have had a quick thing where it's like, you know, you press tab and M and it mutes all, you know.
There should be voice recognition software. So if like certain words appear, they go like, this guy sounds like a dick. Do you want to mute him?
I wonder if one of the differences between like having a good kind of team communication experience is how much you discuss it before the game. Because I feel like when you're yelling at each other in the game where it's like, oh my God, change characters, blah, blah, like by that time, you might be 2.5 minutes into a 5-minute game and like it's too late. Like the difference between an esports team is that they spend hours together before the match talking about their strategy.
You know,
they're not trying to create their strategy on the fly.
But for the nonverbal stuff, there are those tips where it suggests you have too many snipers or something like that. So, I mean, you don't really need it because the game does it for you. It's when you have to adapt, I think, that communication is really clutch.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, there are some people that are just way better at one person or refuse to play. Like, they'll say, I'm only playing Pharah and I will not play anything else. Mm. You know, if I know that ahead of time, I'm not going to, like, auto-click Pharah and then ignore the rest of the team, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think just that character select screen is fascinating because unlike pretty much any other game I've ever played, you can both all pick the same character.
Yep.
But the game itself makes suggestions, not other people.
Yeah.
Also, it matches people first and then figures out the characters.
Yes.
Whereas like in other games, you pick a healer, it'll then match make based off of team composition.
Right.
Like it's this weird match of like somewhat hands off, like, oh, players can do whatever they want, but also we're going to guide you a little bit if you want to listen.
Yeah.
You
know? I do find that super interesting, especially from a competitive perspective, because there are times when, you know, hey, this person's specialty is support, or this person's specialty is like assassins, right? Mm-hmm. You get that a lot in MOBAs and other like hero games that are similar to Overwatch, but Overwatch doesn't have the fixed role. So even when you're watching like a esports event, you might see players hopping between different roles that you wouldn't normally see because they have to, which is such a weird experience from a viewer perspective.
Yeah.
But then from the player perspective, you don't know what people are good at because you don't queue up in a role or you don't queue up with specific characters, which is why actually whenever I play a match with randoms, I will click on multiple characters that I'm considering playing or feel like playing. So you can see what people are hovering over.
Yeah.
So I'll click Mercy, D.Va, Junkrat, Mercy, D.Va, Junkrat, hopefully conveying I'm happy to play any of these characters. If you're partial towards Mercy and I see you pick it, then I'm going to pick one of these other two.
It's like partially what you would do in like a ranked match in a lot of MOBAs.
Yeah, I do that in League of Legends, so people know, you know, here are the suite of characters that I'm good at, because that's just something, there's no tool built in to show. And in fact, that'd be really interesting, actually, to when you queue up with a group, see what their most played characters are, to sort of lend you a sort of, you know, some knowledge about how you might want to adjust your play or what characters you want to play as.
I wonder if they did that in HOTS, because in HOTS you have like your overall player level, but you also have levels per character.
Oh, interesting. So can, when you queue up, can you see other people's levels per character?
I'm racking my brain to figure out if you can do that, because like there's some characters where it's like, oh, you're like level 20, you're an expert at this character, but then you'll pick a different character and it's like you're level 1, you've literally never played that character.
League of Legends has that too, where you could see what their rank is. So if they've played a lot of one character, they might have like a 2 rank. The problem is you can't see that until the loading screen. So you won't know that they're good at that character. But it does make a difference, right? Like if I'm playing support, for example, or if I'm playing jungler in League of Legends and I need to babysit a lane because they're not very good, if I know that the top lane has like top tier mastery and they're playing against a character that I know is a pretty good matchup, I'm not going to go babysit that lane. I'll go mid or I'll go bot to see what other plays, because I can have faith in that person executing on their role. The same goes for support players in like Overwatch or something, right? If I knew for a fact, oh man, this Mercy is going to kill it, then maybe I could be slightly more daring in how I play as a tank, for example.
I'm trying to think if, like, I mean, because that's one of the other things that is fascinating about Overwatch, is because I can't actually remember very clearly what level I am Yeah. Or what level the people I'm playing are.
Oh, yeah. You know? You just don't even think about it.
Yeah. Like, and when you press tab, it's not even like, you don't see like a list of kills and deaths because they've kind of hidden that stuff.
Well, you can see yours at the very bottom, but it's definitely
Yeah, it's like
not.
Bottom left or something.
Yeah, and it's
like
covered
put
up
out
by
of the
chat,
way.
Too. It's kind of hard to see.
But, and it's, and I mean, we talked about this during the beta thing. Like, Blizzard is a clever, talented developer. Like, that's not an accident.
Yeah.
You know, like, none of this stuff is an accident. Like, it's so strange to think to
yourself. Made a UI.
Yeah, it's like, oops, we put the chat over. It's like, no, of course they meant to do that. And also, you know, both for your benefit and for your teammates' benefit. You know, like, there's been... I've noticed myself every once in a while, I'm like, man, like, why is our team sucking so bad? Yeah. And I try to look at the menu, I'm like, oh, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I have to pay attention.
That's a good point. You know? Like, you have to look... So, I do hear that from time to time, especially in group chat when there's, like, four of us and there's, like, two shitty players, where someone will go, oh, this Widowmaker is trash. Mm-hmm. Or... You know, this Mercy is trash, this Pharah is trash, or whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the only metrics of knowing whether or not they're not carrying the team or not doing their part is how many times have you seen them die personally?
Yeah.
Either because it appears in the box or you're next to them when you die.
Yeah.
Or, wow, I haven't seen any of Pharah's ult. Has she ulted once in this game, right? Maybe she's wasting it killing off one person in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
So you're right. They hide the information you would need to know if someone's doing well or not.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, after the match, they expose a little bit more information, but it's about your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, how many times did you get a streak, or how many objectives did you capture?
Yeah, how much time did you spend on the cap, yeah.
And then they also have that screen where, again, I can't really remember any other games where I've seen this, where they just choose metrics from the game. And you have the option of, like, giving people kudos for it.
Which I love that idea.
I also don't know what that does. Like, is
there
anything?
Nothing. I don't think it does anything but make you feel good.
Yeah.
The only way that you can express your antagonism towards your team is by not voting at all in that process.
I've noticed that, though. Like, have you... So what are your voting habits like?
I will gladly vote the enemy team. If there's a great play, or if there's a really good play of the game that the enemy team made, or they won, or whatever, I'll gladly upvote them. And then for my own team, I will always upvote my own team members if I think they've done a good job.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually really rewarding because it makes you think about individual skill in a competitive game where it's otherwise kind of difficult to know how people are performing. And it gives you an opportunity of spreading the wealth for types of behavior that wouldn't normally be rewarded.
Yeah.
So time on capture, right? If your time on capture is like 3 minutes or something crazy like that, you did your job. You maybe didn't get a bunch of kills. You didn't get to play the game. You were just playing Reinhardt and you had a big-ass shield, whatever. But it's an opportunity for your teammates to say and be reminded that this type of behavior is conducive towards success. And vice versa for your opposing team, right? Like, oh, they locked us down at this point, or this Bastion was really good. Or, I mean, whatever, it's Bastion. It's super easy to be good. But like these particular characters did a very good job.
Yeah.
You know, A+. I learned something from you. You did well. I think that's cool. That's a really rewarding thing.
I wonder if I know they must have these numbers, but I would be so fascinated if someday at some future GDC where they're just like, here's what we see. People who win are most likely to vote for their own teammates, or people that lose are most likely to like not vote. You know, I'm interested to see like what the behavior is once people get into it.
Yeah, you know, League of Legends actually does have a post-game kudos system, but it's sort of built into the reporting system and very few people do it. It's not like this huge overscreen thing the way that Overwatch
is. I mean, that's
why
I'm wondering if they're going to like match it up to something. Like, it seems like this is an experiment. This is currency waiting for something that you can spend it on.
Yeah, you would think it would like increase your experience points.
Yeah.
I think the problem, though, is the moment you start incentivizing it is the moment you start seeing people game it. So if you're in a group of six people and...
They'll all pick one character so that they can all try
to
get...
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's like, you know, if me and you were playing,
we'll
always kudos each other so that we can climb that ladder. And very rarely kudos the opposing team. I think that's where it's... You want to remove it completely from that, right? And just have it. I mean, on top of that, there's also a voting system for how you liked the game.
I was going to ask you about that too. Like, how often do you use that?
I use that almost every game.
Yeah.
So if it's a complete wipe, like if I just absolutely lost, I'll give it a 1. If I absolutely dominated, I'll probably give it a 2. But I won't give it a 3. Because I think the only matches that deserve a 3 ranking are ones that were close.
Yeah, you know, both I want to feel like I earned
it. Like, yeah, we each put in a lot of effort. It feels like a good game. And in a weird way, I feel like that voting system is basically just a tool for me to influence whatever MMR they happen to be using to decide how people are ranked up.
Yeah.
Because I think a good game is a game that is well executed on both sides and is a challenge and is fun and compelling in that way. There's no way a game that's over in 2 minutes because we rushed the cap point and they didn't put up a fight is entertaining at the end of the day.
It's interesting that they don't, and I've seen this in other games where it's just like, how was this game? Like, it's not about like
it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not about like, because I mean, you could interpret that in many ways. Like, did you have a fun time? Were the characters enjoyable? Yeah,
did you personally do well?
Yeah, did you do well? What did it technically run well? Were you lagging all over the place? You know, like, there's just so many ways of like interpreting.
That's why
was this a good match?
I wonder if the information is useful in the slightest. My suspicion is that most players vote give it a 3, like a really good ranking when they win. Like, they're more likely to vote that it was a good game when they've dominated.
Mm.
I don't know.
Because what I hope is happening is I want to see like, okay, we've isolated, run regressions to see like whenever Bastion is in the games, it always goes down. I think it would be fascinating to be like
whoever's on the like running the Blizzard analytics team has got to be such a fun job. There's just so much data you can crunch.
Fucking PhD student or whatever that instead of becoming a professor is now like Professor Blizzard.
Going back to League of Legends, since that's my purview, Riot does have a strong analytics team and they have shown data around behavior. So they'll say, you know, people who are toxic in matches tend to lose more matches as well. And that's people who give kudos and communicate well and use positive communication tend to win more matches. So there is some data about, you know, your behavior does influence or your win rate or vice versa, your win rate influences your behavior. It'd be cool to see some of that data open, right? To be able to know, oh, people who switch characters multiple times per match win more games than people who never switch a character.
Are you seeing a lot of switching? This is like there's a competitive
When we are winning, yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I play with friends, there's a lot of switching based upon what we need. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's, you know, mid-match, and sometimes that's for specific characters.
Yeah.
So a good example would be Symmetra, who can lay turrets and have a teleporter. Yeah, man, in the beta, I just did not get her. Mm-hmm. And since I've been playing the full game, she's one of my favorite characters to play.
I was playing with Eric the other day, and I was like, all right, hold on. I'm just going to... whoever steps into this room dead. Is going to get an ass full of turrets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is the killing floor. Yeah. Come on in. Yeah, it's great. And she's so good at closing off or at the very least slowing down progress in certain areas, which flows the enemy team towards your Bastion, towards your D.Va units. Like, it's super cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Symmetra lays down a teleporter and mid-game, if you've already laid your teleporter and it's just been destroyed or just been whatever and your cooldown is completely refreshed, you could probably move on, right? Mm. Especially for the games that are, you know, first there's a capture point and then there's an escort. And you can move on to a different character, and that happens all of the time.
Yeah.
If there's a Bastion, or God forbid, the enemy team has two Bastions, you bet your ass people are going to be switching to D.Vas, to Genjis, and to Junkrats to counter that Bastion.
Yeah.
All of the matches that I've seen that people have done really well tend to be switching. And I think it's especially true as well because there are times when you get in a rut in Overwatch.
Yeah.
You might be playing Widowmaker and you just keep dying to like a Tracer or something. And maybe it doesn't have to do with the fact that Tracer is a good counter towards a Widowmaker. It could just be she's in your head and you're tilted. But by switching characters, you sort of give yourself a psychological refresh.
Yeah.
If you go from Widowmaker to Winston, all of a sudden you feel beefier, stronger. Maybe you get your head right. Maybe you start playing right against that particular matchup and you win your game.
Yeah, I've been seeing a similar thing where it's not just switching for the sake of it. It's switching like once you get a capture point, the next time people die, then they switch because it's like, okay, now we're at the point where we're defending a thing. We're no longer rushing, so like we're gonna just tank out now. Yeah. You know.
Or I saw that I was watching some Overwatch esports events recently, and I saw a common. I really like this. It was a common method for the last ditch effort. So when they're right about to win the game, everyone just rolls D.Vas because she gets quickly into battle. She can hold the point for a long time to keep it contested while you potentially get the opportunity to get in a few kills.
Yeah, I mean, there's I've seen that too where you just need to rush.
Yeah,
and then everyone is like, okay, well, I'm just gonna go. I haven't seen as much as I thought I would. I haven't seen multiples on a lot of teams. I'll see like multiple soldiers a lot, actually.
Double Winston is a pretty common thing in the competitive matches I've seen.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm somewhat glad, but I'm also just fascinated that it's completely hands off. Like, they don't block you from that.
Right.
So it's like, if the best thing to do is just have all Junkrats.
Yeah.
Like,
it's probably not the best thing to do.
But like, it would be hilarious.
It is hilarious. Like, yeah. All Torbjorns are just so funny.
Just turrets everywhere.
Turrets everywhere.
There's a certain like chaotic nature to it where it's like there's no rules. You can just do whatever you want.
Right.
And so this is just like anarchy in like the truest sense. Yeah. You know, like anyone could just, you just have to figure it out amongst your own team, which I think is pretty rare when it comes to like those sorts of like team-based things.
Absolutely. What do you think, out of curiosity, what do you think will change in the competitive mode? Because they have not yet released it. And I'm wondering if maybe they are going to be adding different, I mean, certainly hopefully.
So what is the plan for that? Like, they have the, so right now they have quick matches, they have the like brawl stuff, right, where they have special rules.
So
like,
the mode that they're going to release, I think is just competitive ranked. It's a ranked mode.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be the random maps anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if you could choose the map. Maybe there's a voting system.
And HOTS, they kept it random.
Yeah, maybe they'll keep it random then. I mean, you play more HOTS. I mean, is there, in ranked modes for HOTS, is there a different UI or different? I mean, there's like spectator mode.
Yeah, there's that, but there's also the classic MOBA like pick and ban.
Oh yeah, so stuff. Yeah, it'd be curious. The roster isn't huge. Yeah. I can't imagine they'll be having a pick and ban phase, but I think it would be interesting to see if they make this clear delineation between the casual mode that we were talking about, that you can mute people, the matches are over really quickly. It rewards communication in specific ways, and if they change that for the ranked mode, so that
what if you could only switch like three times?
Yeah,
that'd be fucking fascinating.
That would be really cool. Or you choose three characters, and that's it. You can rotate
Marvel versus Capcom style.
You call in Hulk or whatever. Yeah, I mean, who knows, right? That could be an interesting way to. Or if they showed in ranked mode, they'll show you kills and deaths, so you can say, "Hey, you suck."
Yeah.
You know, like, get out of my match.
So before we wrap up, what do you think the thing is that will either keep you playing this or stop you from playing this? Because it is a purely competitive game.
Yeah. I mean, it's, for me, multiplayer games are always about who's playing. Mm-hmm. If people have stopped playing, I'll stop playing, in all likelihood. That being said, I've been playing League of Legends for like 6 years now or something stupid like that.
I mean, people have continued to play.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And I still play with a group of friends. Yeah. What would stop me from playing Overwatch? Hats. Like, to be honest, if it became overloaded with stuff.
I mean, there's so many skins
hackers,
out there.
Like, if cheating became a problem.
Yeah. Which on the PC is always a danger.
Yeah.
Especially in, like, those FPS style.
But honestly, the matches are so fast that I could see myself playing this for so long.
Yeah.
And stop and play other games and then come back to it. Just because it's so easy to put in a few matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's just, I've got 30 minutes to kill before bedtime, or, you know, someone's getting ready to go, but I've got a little break. Just hop on, play some Overwatch matches, and call it a day.
It's so similar to Splatoon in so many ways, where it's definitely like a shooter, like through and through, but there's just a lot of different tweaks on it to try to make it more bite size.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of stopped me with Splatoon is that, people were able to like distill, like, okay, what is the best, what's the best gun to use, or what is the best thing to do on the maps and stuff, and it just got away from me too fast.
Right.
But I'm hoping that because there's so many characters in Overwatch, that's a slower process.
Yeah. Well, and the character rotation, right?
Yeah.
You have to answer to what they're doing.
Yeah. Whereas in Splatoon, you pick your loadout and you can't switch your loadout in the game. But because this loadout is always flowing, I'm hoping that it won't kind of crystallize as quickly. And even, I mean, quickly is all a matter of perspective. I mean, Splatoon has been good since it came out, and that's like over a year ago. But like Splatoon, I think the other thing that will keep me coming back to Overwatch is the stuff around the matches. Like, remember, like, the Splatfests and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Overwatch is primed for that sort of shit.
Totally. Seasonal stuff.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, come, you know, November or whatever, there's going to be, like,
Halloween
a Christmas,
match?
Like,
oh,
thing. Like,
what's great, too, is again, because Blizzard's coming to this type of game late, they're coming at it with all this knowledge of what's worked from these other titles, and they know exactly what people need to sort of be interested and be pulled back during these certain events. The chaos mode, the rotating jolly fun casual mode is a great idea, and I haven't touched it yet because it hasn't been super compelling to me. But if they could,
if you just want to mess around modes, and like mess around with your all your, because it's super fast to get your ultimates awesome or whatever stuff, so it's like you can kind of see, you can mess around, but like
that's rotating, right? Like they'll switch that out for other modes.
I think so. So like you can see like, you know, weekly themes. Yeah. You know, like this is robot matches and it's only people that are like cyber infused or something, or like this is
I need more animal waifus in the game. That's what I need. Like we have Winston, he's the one animal. Surely they have to add more animals into the game. Animal people. Maybe like a flamingo.
Is there any other? You're right, he's the only animal.
Winston, yeah.
Unless there's, what's the strange floating guy with the multiple arms? Maybe he's like...
Yeah, he's a robot, though.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, biotic or whatever.
Yeah, because he taught Genji or whatever.
God, you're right. I mean, there's just so many things that they could do that are clever and also kind of inspire people to play a different type of character.
Totally.
You know, this is like, you're right, like this is like Winston week or whatever, and you can get a special skin so you'll see more Winstons and fewer other things.
Yeah,
like you see that in HOTS all the time. Like you see Tracers all the time now because everyone fucking bought the collector's pack.
Yeah,
and like that has influenced the game now. Yeah, so like I mean you see that all the time. Like I think that stuff would be really cool, and that stuff will continue to have, like, that stuff will continue to bring me back.
Totally. Esports stuff as well. I think if Blizzard makes a really cool spectator mode and they start running their own competitions like they have for HOTS, and I could see people play and maybe even get into, like, a team that plays more regularly, like, ranked mode, I think that could be a really great investment.
Yeah.
Great investment. It's not great. It's a waste of my time.
You know what's a great investment? Buying $50 in chess.
Exactly.
All right, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to reach out.
And experiencepoints.net is our Overwatch home base, kind of.
Calling it.
We got called in
by a huge gorilla.
Big gorilla guy. Yeah. Leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a star rating. That helps us find new listeners, and we really appreciate it.
Yep. All right, until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
So long. Every time we